In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we listen to God's Word read to us, there are occasions when what we hear from His Word allows us no other reaction than, wow, that gets pretty personal. That really cuts straight to the bone. As you heard some of the lesson from James today, perhaps you had that reaction. When he tells you things like, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. We have to admit, this is one of those sections of Scripture that we might avoid if we were all about only lifting ourselves up. But there's another element of this lesson that I think could become so easily distracting if we don't address it right up front. Just cut to the chase. And that's how the lesson finishes with these words. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Do you hear the echoes that I hear? Especially when you dial around a little bit to those cable talk shows in the late evening. Everybody's trumpeting their own version of morality and priorities and everything else. And the message sometimes even from those who aren't Christians, maybe even someone you live nearby or work with on a daily basis, who will say to you as a Christian, don't your own scriptures say, do not judge? So don't be telling me what to do. Don't be telling me what part of my life is sinful. What about it? Well, actually, if you and I take a few minutes and dial back to the very beginning of this chapter of James, we find God's answer very clearly. What he's really saying at the end there of our lesson about who are you to judge your neighbor is a simple reality that if we're honest about our sinfulness, if we humble ourselves enough to allow God to clearly speak to our lives through his word, to examine our words and our priorities, our actions, honestly, we will come to the realization that we have so much going on that we need to be dealing with God about, that we're going to not have a whole lot of time to turn sideways and look at our neighbors and slander them and add on top of what God has clearly told us in His Word to our dislikes of their life or their management of their lives. Ultimately, what God is telling us in these words is focus on yourself first. That could really be the theme of our lesson today, but then that would kind of avoid or distract also from the balance that you find in these verses. Because as God challenges us through James to humble ourselves before Him, He also speaks the balancing gospel message of it is God, it is the Lord before whom we humble ourselves, who will lift us up, who will offer the answers, who will embrace us eternally and give us the forgiveness that we desire. So bear with me for a moment as I read to you the first verses of chapter 4 of James before getting into the lesson that is assigned for the day. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Remember, he's speaking to believers now. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So it's not about speaking God's word clearly. It's about applying God's word clearly to our own lives and the lives of those around us. And let God's word be the source of judgment between us. After all, in that moment when we stand before that lawgiver and judge, at the end of our days or at the end of time, we're not going to be asked to give testimony to the lives of the people standing on either side of us, good or bad. It's going to be you and me in the crosshairs. Here in his word again today, God hits us right between the eyes with what we need to hear, but what we often avoid, is that we shouldn't be quite as concerned about the lives of all the people around us if we're not so concerned about what God has to say to us, to each one of us through his word. And you think about what he's telling us here, it almost sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? It almost assumes the worst in each of us. But is that wrong? Is that off target? He tells us here that each one of us, whether we'd like to admit it or not, is capable about doing just about anything to get what we want in any given moment. To have our lives go the direction we would prefer, or to accumulate for ourselves the things that we most treasure. Even to the point of cheating, stealing, hating, killing. Takes a measurement of us, doesn't it? In a way that the world really wouldn't. Because the voices of the world tell us, find what's good in yourself. Find what value you offer in workplace or neighborhood or organization, and make sure everybody knows it, and make sure you're proving it on a regular basis. We also fall into that temptation the other direction, don't we? We do something for someone else. We provide value beyond what is expected. And we want to thank you. We want an acknowledgement. And if it doesn't come as soon and as wide as we would like it to be broadcast, we're not happy in that moment, and we often hold that grudge a very long time. And once again here, God is saying pretty much in so many words, get over yourself. Take an honest, hard look at yourself and see yourself the way God sees you. And maybe you'll discover that it's not just God before whom you cannot stand up and declare value, some ability to earn his love or a presence in his eternity on what you do, but when you use God's determining factors for seeing what value you have, you can't even stand up in front of the people that are around you and claim to be any better than anybody else. If you've ever sat in one of my classes, like an AIC or something like that, you've probably heard this example before. But this is a gorgeous place on a very beautiful campus. And I know as it was built and was first being used, there were people that kind of looked at it as almost like a country club. People got all dressed up to go there. People who think they're better than everybody else, right? That this is a club for people who think they're perfect. This is a hospital. This place that you come to week after week is a hospital for broken, stinking sinners, and you come here for treatment. You come here for the gospel to proclaim to you God's answers to your sins and your rebellion and your brokenness. Through the word proclaimed and the sacraments received, you are strengthened to trust and rely on God's righteousness given to you as a gift. His lifting you up. And yet we're told so clearly in these words, submit yourselves then to God. Be serious enough about your sins that when you see them, you grieve over them, you mourn, you wail, you change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. When it's all said and done, none of us by nature wants to live that way. None of us really wants to live that honestly before the people around us and even the person in the mirror. Because that's hard. That's work. Or is it? Or is it actually the path to the joy that we're looking for? Is it actually God's answer to the questions that most often plague us about being good enough and having a purpose and having a hope for a life better than the life we're living here on a daily basis? When he says, come near to God and he will come near to you, what is he really saying? He's saying that our honesty before God, our listening to God's word, his direction, his answers, that's something that has to happen very often. And it's something that God has to feel welcome in our lives doing. In other words, it's a daily walk with God. A daily examination of our lives, of a humbling of ourselves before God's word as it declares us to be what he sees us and knows us to be. That's hard, isn't it? To walk through life every day, every moment, clearly aware of the reality that our Creator is ever present, ever knowing, and ever evaluating every word we speak, every choice we make, everything that we set our hand to doing in every context of our lives. Well, it's true and it's real whether we honestly accept it and understand it that way or not. And so he's asking us, do you want me to come near to you? Then come near to me in my word and follow the process, the progression that I define for you there of confession and repentance and honest reflection and find my answers, not the world's answers, not the culture's answers, not anyone else's answers, my answers. And when you see the broken people around you, needing desperately what you have found in my word and your relationship with me, share that with them. Not your opinions, not your ideas, not your philosophies. That's all human judgment and nonsense that won't do them any good in the long run. And certainly never slander them, believing somehow you're better than them. The world doesn't need one more Christian that walks around looking down on everyone else, declaring themselves better than anyone else. What the Lord needs is honest people who are recognizing that as we wait for him to fulfill every one of his promises in our lives today, and especially those eternal promises, that the appropriate posture and process is a humbling of ourselves, an acknowledging of his word that speaks to every element of our lives. So emptying ourselves is the way to find joy. Humbling ourselves is the way to find the lifting up of God that means eternity, life after death, perfection, the embrace of God through the forgiveness of all of our sins. He says yes. He says that's where the rubber meets the road in this lesson today and in this whole chapter of James. An emptying of ourselves. Talk about counterculture. This afternoon, if you watch games of different sorts, you'll find plenty of chest thumpers who will want to call attention to themselves to show you what they can do and receive your applause. If you live your life that way, God tells you clearly here, you deserve what you got coming. Those moments of comeuppance when others say, oh yeah, you think you're all that, and they prove you otherwise in some embarrassing way. God's desire is to help you avoid that embarrassment, not just day by day, but the ultimate embarrassment of standing before that lawgiver and judge in the moment of your examination before His Word, and find out just how wanting you are that moment instead of this moment now. Praise the Lord that He has proclaimed His Word to you, that He has been honest with you, and He has called you to repentance through His Word, that you might know not only what He thinks of you, but how much He values you. That He would speak this word to you in a way that would convict you of your sin, but lead you back to a confession of that sin and a desire to be comforted and strengthened against that sin and live tomorrow in a way that pleases your Father better than you've lived today, because you get it. That you understand that the way to joy and peace, wholeness, and eternal life is humbling yourself before your God and waiting for Him to lift you up. So try it out for yourself. See if it really works. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.